Well, good morning. Comfortable in here, isn't it? There you go. It's great to have you this morning. We've come to worship, seek the Lord, open up His Word, enjoy connecting with one another. Heard a lot of that going on, getting a hot cup of coffee. Hot cup of coffee today? But it's okay. It's good to have you this morning. Make sure you grab one of those cup of coffees or a cup of tea as you leave today, as we've opened up that ministry. You can even drink it outside under the pavilion. We are glad to have you here. If you are a guest, we're especially glad to have you here. Do us a favor before you leave. In our cafe, there's a welcome booth. Stop by there and one of our hosts will just hand you a bag, a gift bag for you. Thank you for being here. If we can serve you, encourage you, help you in any way, go to our website, openarmschurch.com. Our emails are there, and we'd be glad to follow up with you. Well, as the weather is changing, an exciting thing is about to unpack and unfold here at Open Arms. We're going to meet this summer four times. The second Sunday of the summer months, June, July, August, and September, outside on the lawn. We're calling it Lunch on the Lawn. We're going to provide lunch to everybody who comes, and we hope that your family, your friends, your coworkers, your neighbors invite everyone and anyone you know. That's a big lawn out there, and you have them bring their lawn chair and their appetite. That's it. You too. And come and be a part of that time. We're going to have gluten-free options, but we'll have some subs and other desserts. But we're going to worship outside. And we're going to continue our study through the book of Philippians outside this summer, but on those four times, the second Sunday of each month. And we're going to have an activity for kids and adults. The first Sunday, we're going to have a rock climbing and rappelling wall. So that's for children and adults. And so some of the children are excited about that. Parents, you decide, okay, if that's something for them. And for adults, if your friends are not sure you should be doing that, well, then maybe it's time to listen to your friends, okay? But have fun. We look forward to gathering together on the lawn. Also, you'll notice today in your program, and as you were walking in, there was a sign up for our Discovering Open Arms Church Luncheon. That's happening today after the service. We offer it every quarter. And so new folks who are interested to know our beliefs, what we value, what makes us tick, how do I get connected to Open Arms Church? What's your guys' philosophy? Why do you do things the way that you do? So we had this special luncheon. It's a workshop. It's very interactive. You ask any questions you want, and we host that once a quarter. After that, folks then reach out, or we make an appointment with those who want to make an appointment. Not everybody does right away. And then we sit and we talk, and we get to hear their spiritual journey. And as a result of that, over the years, many folks have come to a place of trusting in Christ, and maybe their first time coming. They didn't know Jesus personally. They've heard of Him for sure, but they didn't know Him. And over that period of time, whether it's weeks or months, meeting with one of the pastors, they surrendered their lives to Christ. They get baptized. It's a wonderful time. Others come and they've already had a relationship with Christ. They've trusted in Jesus at some point in their journey, been immersed, covered in water, exactly as Jesus said to do after you become a disciple. And they have done so in a church of like faith, of like practice. And so they want to be a part of Open Arms. They go, I get who you guys are. That's who I am in my heart. I want to connect to a family. You know, for us, the number one commitment every person ought to make is a commitment to Jesus, to trust in Him. And then Jesus says, if you've done that, I want you to commit to others. And that's what a local church is. So we want you to meet some of those folks who recently joined with Open Arms Church. So you see up here on the wall, the Casey family. And there's Rob, Ileana, Braden, Carter, and Juliet. They've been attending for about 15 months. Braden and Carter are already all in our youth group. They've been attending. Yeah, they have some fans here. Okay, very good. Rob and Elaine have already connected to serve, and you'll see them in the next month or two serving on our greeting team. But we're thankful for them. They came. Rob and Ileana did with a testimony of faith in Christ, and so they are now part of the Open Arms Church family. Second, we want you to meet Fred and Nancy Lake. Fred and Nancy started attending 8 months ago, invited by a family in our church, and they too came with a testimony of faith in Christ, immersed, just like the scripture says. They're already part of a Bible study, and so they're getting to know others and enjoy just chewing on God's word, and so you'll be seeing Fred and Nancy around. Also, now I want you to meet John and Sue Richter. John and Sue started attending 5 months ago. Again, they come with a journey of faith in Christ, immersed, just like many of us have, and they are already serving in our greeting ministry. You would have seen them a few weeks ago as they served in that capacity. So these are three families that have recently joined Open Arms, and some of you are in that process. I've been meeting with some folks who have recently given their lives to Christ. They're working on their testimony to be baptized, and they want to be a part of this church family as well. You'll get to meet them in the weeks and the months ahead. Well, some of you are saying, wow, I want to be a part of that workshop. It's today. Boy, I didn't sign up. It's okay. You just come right in because we have room for you. We have food for you. We have material for you. And the room is going to be cool. So you, where else would you want to be on a Sunday afternoon than spending a few more hours with us learning about Open Arm Church? But we're glad to see what God is doing in connecting precious folks to our church family. I'm going to lead us in a word of prayer, and then we're going to worship him together. Father, it's good as you draw us to yourself, you unpack the good news of Christ, who he is, what that work accomplished for us personally, and then even the faith to believe. And Lord, and then as we see over and over in your word, how you draw us together to local churches that represent you. Those who have made that commitment, wanting to be committed to one another, living life on purpose, encouraging one another, praying for one another, loving one another, exhorting one another. And when we're hurting, coming alongside and weeping with us. And when we're excited, rejoicing with us. That's a church family. So thank you for your idea. Thank you for the Open Arms Church family. And as it expands, may more and more precious folks, treasures that need to know Jesus, have hearts open to receive him and begin that walk right here in this place, Lord, as we show them through an honest life committed to you, being transparent, not perfect, but ever changing, being conformed to the image of Christ and opening up your word. Jesus, we do that now here in just a few minutes. But would you receive these songs as just a thank you, a gratefulness, as you prepare our hearts to open up your treasured word and to find us already saying, yes, whatever you say, I'll listen, recalculate my heart, and obey you. Jesus, in your name we pray. Amen.
Would you stand with us if you're able? And join with us as we sing.
Commands all the wisdom of heaven. else could rescue me from my pain. Who else would offer his only son? Who else invites me to call him father? Only a holy God. Only my holy God.
Was lost in darkest night, yet thought I knew the way, the sin that promised joy and life, led me to the grave. I had no hope that you would own a rebel to. As I ran my hellbound race, indifferent to the cost, you looked upon my helpless state and led me to the cross. And I beheld God's love displayed, you suffered it. Jesus, as we sing these words to you, Lord, we're reminded that we can't live for you in our own strength. Jesus, we can't follow you in our own strength, that it's not us that lives this life you call us to, but it's Christ in us. Lord, as we sing these truths, as we look at the scripture in just a few moments, Lord, just help us to understand that and help us to live that out, to lean on you. What gift of grace is Jesus my Redeemer? There is no more forever now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. For my life is wholly bound to His. Oh, how strange and divine, I can sing, all is mine, yet not I, but through Christ in me. The night is dark, but I am not forsaken, for by my side the Savior He will stay. I labor on in weakness and rejoicing, for in my need His power is displayed. To this I hope, my shepherd will defend me. Through the deepest valley He will lead. Oh, the night has been won, and I shall overcome, yet not I, but through Christ. Fate I tread, I know I am forgiven. The future sure, the price He has been paid. For Jesus bled and suffered for my pardon, and He was raised to overthrow the grave. To this I hold, my sin has been defeated. Jesus now and ever is my plea. And all the chains are released, I can sing, I am free, and not I, but through Christ in me. With every breath I long to follow Jesus, for He has said that He will bring me home. And day by day I know you will renew me until I stand with joy before the throne. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. All the glory evermore to Him. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. All the glory evermore to Him. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. Yet not I, but through Christ in me. Jesus, thank you for that promise, that truth, that help, that it's not for those who've trusted in you, follow you, that it is not we who live, but it's Christ who lives in us. And the life we live on this earth, we're to live by trusting in Jesus, who's in us, gives us the strength. Lord, thank you for speaking to us. We open your word now. We ask you to help us to hear with our ears, hear with our hearts, and that we would be transformed in that process. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Those songs certainly are a great introduction to our text this morning. You know, I just want to bring greetings to you from two of our church plants. Two of the last 3 weeks had the opportunity to preach at Emmanuel Church in Castleton on the Hudson and at Ilion Community Church last week. And they are so grateful for you, Open Arms, as you have prayed for them, as we have supported them and look to encourage them. But it's great to see what God's doing and growing those churches, deeply rooted in the faith, but also expanding their numbers. So keep praying and keep loving, keep serving. Some of you even go and visit those churches and encourage Dean and Elaine, as well as Brad and Terry. If you have your Bibles, please open up to Philippians chapter 2. All of you turn in your programs. You'll see the text there. A few things are harder to put up with, said Mark Twain, than the annoyance of a good example. Perhaps the most annoying thing about a good example is the inability to accomplish what that other person has achieved. Without that person somehow, some way, entering into our lives to give us their fortitude, their skill, their wisdom, their experience, we just might get frustrated to say, I want to do what they did or be like them. You see, it takes more than an example on the outside. It takes power and adjustment on the inside. Paul has just presented, as we studied last week, the person of Christ, the humility of Christ, that heartbeat of obedience, the son to his father of Christ. And what does he say? So then let this mind be in you that was also in Christ. This attitude, let it be yours that was in Christ. We hear that and we agree. We say, yes. Absolutely. We will. And we walk away going, how in the world is that going to happen? Imagine you emailing everybody last Monday after that message on Sunday and say, hey, I just want to let you know, starting today, I'm going to imitate Christ. So you watch me, because the more every day, I'm going to be more and more like Jesus. And so you follow me. okay? You do what I do because I'm doing what he does. It sounds presumptuous. It sounds prideful. It sounds impossible. And as we see in our text this morning, so important. You know, the Christian life is not so much up and down. We'll see that it's more about in and out. God working in, us working out what he is doing. I'm going to read the text. I invite you to follow along. Then I'm going to come back and we're going to grab hold of three takeaways from our text this morning to help us to grasp this insight from this text, how God is working in us. Paul writes in verse 12 of Philippians chapter 2, therefore, and that word therefore is because everything he just said in the first 11 verses of the chapter, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. Even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you always. Likewise, you also should be glad and rejoice with me. So, the takeaways, this grace gift of salvation given to us, not earned, comes with some responsibilities. Number one, the responsibility is to seriously work out what God is working in us. Secondly, how are we to work it out? And thirdly, who has God put in our lives to help us work it out? Well, number one, looking at verse 12, we see what God is beginning and wanting to work in us. Christ, he is the perfect example of humble obedience. And you and I are about to see that we have his power, his enabling help, so that God can work in us before we ever work out anything. Notice he calls him beloved. Paul expresses how deep his affection is for them. And he remembers with fondness how they began the Christian journey. We saw a number of weeks ago as we studied Acts 16, right? The beginning of the church at Philippi. And as he preached God's word, taught God's word, how they responded. And he says, remember how you responded in obedience to God's word? And he says to them, I'm no longer with you, you know that. I'm in a Roman prison. I am in captivity. So continue with the attitude you had in the beginning. Continue to obey the Lord. Follow his word. Much more so that I am absent. You know, that's the real mark of maturity, right? Responsibility. We've all, if you've been trained as a child, if you've trained children, you tell them, you instruct them, you show them, do you get it? Yes. Will you do it? Yes. And then you leave. You go around the corner. If they're three, and you watch and see what they do. And then what if they're 13? And on and on and on. But taking ownership, being responsible, taking instruction seriously, God says, that's how I want to see you in the Christian life. So he says, not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation. Each of us in this room that have heard Christ call them to a surrendered life, to a life that grasped and understood what makes me far from God is not that I'm not religious enough, but I have a rebellious nature. It's not that I make mistakes. I am sinful in my core. I do what I want to do. The word sin means missing the mark. God wants me to be thinking away, living away, and he says it's impossible. Except that by faith, you receive this grace gift of new life, spiritual life in Christ. He says, then we get going. And he says, so now that you have this gift, free to us, but it costs Jesus his life. Work it out. How do you work it out? With fear and trembling. Meaning, seriously, work it out. Be thinking how impossible it is, but how possible and probable it is, because God says, I want to make you like Jesus. Taking God seriously. You know, when I was growing up, there were things I was taught to do, to not do. There were chores I was given. And my parents left the house. They say, you take care of these things this way. And when we get back, you can go out all day and play. All right. And too many times, I just took it easy, sat back, turned on the television, messed with my sisters, whatever. But I'm watching the clock. Okay, they said they'd be back at 10. It's 9. It's 9:15. It's 9:30. All of a sudden, internally, there was this seriousness. There was this trembling. I wanted the freedom to go, but I hadn't done yet what I was responsible to do. And then I'd go run and do it and get it done. Often not to the result that my father was hoping. And so maybe I'd have to keep going. But there was a seriousness. My parents were my parents. There was a respect of their authority, and what they asked of me was reasonable. And so here we have Paul saying to children of God here in Philippi, to children of God here at Open Arms Church, he's saying, work out what God is working in you, because he has to do it. He says, you can't imitate Jesus. You can't put on the mind of Christ, the humility of Christ. Only Christ can do that. And he is in you, child of God. The Spirit of Christ came alive in you, sparked new life in you, and now let him live his life through you. And so part of the seriousness, the fear and the trembling is, if there's anything in me that's hindering his fullness in me, those are the kinds of things I need to confess. I need to be willing to turn from and even ask his help. This word, workout, it comes from a word that means to bring to completion. Like when you start a math problem, keep going until you've completed it. More literally, in Paul's day, it was described of how to approach mining, whether it was gold or diamonds or silver or whatever folks were mining in those days. It was saying, keep going until everything that is in that mind is pulled out. And God is saying, There is so much I want to do in and through each one of your own lives. I want to draw out and pull out the image of Christ. I want to make you like Christ. But the thing is, if there's things in us that don't allow him to fill us, it's a slow trek in that journey. So he says, that's the stuff you need to work out. That's the stuff that needs to come out in that process so that I can work in you, Jesus. Because he is in you, but let him live through you. He wants to do it, and he can do it. That workout, part of that is listening. Listening to his voice through his word. And then it's trusting. He always calls us to things, to thoughts, to attitudes, to behaviors that are contrary to our old nature and to the world around us. So he says, will you trust me to step forward in this, to change the way you see things? Part of how that gets worked out is through prayer. Because once we have understanding from listening, we then need to go to him and say, Lord, I'm weak to do that. Lord, I would struggle to do that. And he says, so in that time of prayer, on your face, asking, waiting, I will do it. And then inevitably, that workout includes suffering. You know that if you've ever been on a physical workout regimen. It just doesn't happen by watching the video. Listening and observing and going, huh, so that's the way you do it. Awesome. So when am I going to start feeling this stuff? It takes suffering. It takes trial. God used test in our lives to the things that we've been listening to from him, praying about. He says, now the rubber meets the road. And I want to work in you the character of Christ, that even in Jesus refining fire and trial, when he was going to that cross, when he was flat out obedient to me, he came to a place and said, God, if it is possible, can this cup of suffering pass from me? But not my will, your will be done. And so God works in you. Look at verse 13. For it is God who works in you. Word literally means he energizes you. He provides the enablement, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. God makes his own children who are yielded, who are serious, both willing and desirous for his will, for him to building into us the character of Christ. And he also enables us to be well before he calls us to do. So he's saying, if you are willing, if this is your prayer, because it is my plan for you, we see in Romans 8:29, if you've experienced the gift of salvation, he tells us, I knew you, I called you, you responded, my plan and purpose is to conform you to the image of Christ. Let us never forget that. And this, he says, is how I do it. I will work in you my desires. I will help you see and want. And all I'm looking for is a willing participant. We have the privilege, you have the privilege of many people who come to Christ. and you just see the light go on. They're saying, I surrendered to him. There was a wrestling. Could this be true? There's a trust in him. And all of a sudden they say, you know, I think differently about this or about that. My desires have changed. I see the world differently. I want what God wants for me. Now, the response is, people are rejecting me or coming against me because of those things, but I'm feeling God's help, his grace. And I just share with them, he's changed your desires. He's put in you the person of Christ, the desires of Christ, and he's going to enable you to do those things. So keep reading his word, praying over his word, holding fast to him in the midst of the trials and suffering, and watch what he will do. So secondly, if the what of this in and out life, of the Christian responsible life, is letting him do it, well, how do we let him do it? Notice the contrast of a self-centered, darkened heart versus a Christ-centered, lit up heart. Do all things without grumbling or disputing. Say what? Do all things. You mean the religious stuff. When I'm praying, when I'm reading God's word, when I'm coming to church. Well, we'd all fail right then and there. You've never grumbled on your way in? We've got microphones throughout the parking lot. Do all things without grumbling, without disputing. Because here's what God's saying. That's the way of the world around you. No matter how good people have it, they're going to be critical, criticizing, grumpy. They're going to complain. They're going to whine. And if that's behind closed doors or behind people's back, they'll do it. But disputing, that's in your face, arguing. That is the way of the world that we live in, but not his children. He's saying, got to learn to deal with that attitude. Recognize when you see it. Ask God to help you see it. Lord, there I go. Whoop, I need to shift. I need to change. Oh, wait a minute. I can't. Christ in me. If anybody could have complained about the crooked, perverse, twisted world, it was Jesus. Whine, argue, fight. Yet he did not, because he knew why it was the way it was. And he knew the darkness and the hardened heart of all. And he knew that he had come to take care of that greatest problem of that sin nature, and those who would receive him, all of a sudden, they would become different. They wouldn't be the ones who are grumbling or disputing. But instead, we see in verse 15, they would be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish. And that doesn't mean perfect. The word blameless means without accusation that can stick. It means when you and I get it wrong, and we do probably more often than we think, but as we're sensitive, as we're praying at the end of the day, Lord, would you search me? Would you test me? Where did I blow it today? Where did I have a bad attitude? Who did I complain to? What did I do wrong? What did I manipulate? Where did I exaggerate? Where was I lazy? Where was I downright rebellious and sinful? And then you confess that to him, and then you go and make that right. If you've hurt somebody, wounded somebody, spoken ill of somebody, you are above reproach. You're blameless. It's not that you're perfect. It's that we take care of the stuff, the mistakes, the sin, the mess ups, the ditches we fall in, the words we speak that are not holy, that are not right. We take care of them. We don't deflect. We don't blame. Why? Because that's what our world does. They deflect and they blame. No one takes responsibility for their sin against God and against others. But God's children, we do. God works in us that reality. I'm his child by grace. Heaven's mine. Christ has come alive in me. I've got his spirit. This word that I could never understand before, that seemed so foreign and it frustrated me, I read it now, I pray over it now, and I get it. And I see it. And then when I ask God's help, he helps me. And when I share with others my weaknesses, my struggles, they encourage me. They tell me their stories, and I'm built up. That makes us children of God without blemish. Where? In the midst of a dark, negative, and a critical spirit world. In the midst of a crooked and twisted, some translations say perverse generation. Morally perverse, it literally means crooked, twisted. Where everyone says what's morally wrong to God, they say is actually right. And what God says is actually right, they say is morally wrong. That went on in Jesus' day, and that's going on in our day. And God says, and so I want you, my children, what I'm working in through you is the life of Christ, so you would do what? Shine as lights in the world. Not as a flashlight, walking around, beaming that light into other people's faces and eyes and calling them out. That's not what this word is depicting. It's saying, you are just yourself a beacon of light. Jesus said it best in John 8:12. He says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will no longer walk in darkness, but be the light. Have the light. There's something about when God just works in us these things, and we take him serious, and we adjust to what he says. We always are adjusting because his ways are not our ways. We're always needing that reminder. We're lights in the midst of the immorality, the perverseness, the crookedness, the twistedness. You shine brightly because he's always drawing people to himself. God is always drawing people to the light, to the messengers of the good news, to those whose light is transparent. And it's sincere, and it's not hypocrisy. It's not five whites, it's 500 LED light that shoots upward, that's just around. And how do they know it? By God's grace, his work in us, we're not grumblers. Boy, we can be. We're not arguers. Boy, we can be. We're not twisted. Because the word of God says, here's what's straight, here's what's narrow, here's the truth. And we hold on to that, and we lean into that. It holds on to us, the word who became life. And eventually, the twisted, the quick, the crooked, the perverse, there is some of those who will just finally say, this is killing me. This is not working out the way I thought it was going to work out for me, my family, our society. Does anybody have a clue? And in that moment, there you are, holding forth. Notice, right? Among you shining as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life. Because you have held to the Lord, to His Word. You look different. You sound different. You think different. It's the life of Christ in you, the mind of Christ in you, that God worked in us so that we might work it out in the world that we live in. And then you have an opportunity, because you held fast to that word, to hold forth that word. Not to share with anyone why you are such a great example and a bright person and a smart person and a righteous person, but to Christ. You see, you and I don't need to imitate Him. We need Him to be incarnated in us. Jesus incarnated into a human being and became a man and lived His life amongst us. And He says, I'm going back to my Father, He told His disciples, and it's good that I go. I need to go, because I'm sending another, the Holy Spirit, and He will incarnate in you. He goes, one just like me. And so as we let Him work in us, and as we work that out this way in the world around us, we'll sense and know and perceive those opportunities to hold forth the gospel, the word of Christ. And then notice in these last few verses, who has God put in our lives to help us? For the Philippian church, He put Paul. He put Epaphroditus. He put Epaphras. At one time, He put Silas. The latter part of verse 16, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. You see, when the Philippian believers let God work in them, this Christ-like trait, the Christ, the word in them, and that gospel was then seen and shared, it resulted in people responding to Jesus. And Paul was saying, and that's what I'm all about. He goes, that's my labor. That's who I want to be. That's what I want to see happen. I will labor even if it costs me being in prison, even if it costs me my life, being poured out as a drink offering, he says in the next verse. I do it so that you will let God work in you. And as you let Him work in you, you will be a light in the midst of the dark world, holding forth the gospel, and people will respond. And he says, that excites me. I live for that. My life's calling will not be in vain. It will not be empty. It will not be hollow. And rejoice with me, he's saying, in that. Because you're a part of it. He goes, I'm here. In Roman captivity, you're there in the midst of where I'm doing what I can do, chained to the Roman guards, but you need to do what only you can do in your home, in your workplace, in your school, in your hobby centers, in your community. And he goes, and then I'm feeling fulfilled, thrilled, excited, and you should join me. It's good. There are those in your life who have sacrificed willingly, joyfully, not telling you, because it was their call. It was their great joy to invest in you, like Paul did, to help you realize what God wants to work in you, so you could work it out. Do you know who they are? Can you think of who they are? That's awesome. And now you know, for some of us in this room, God's saying, now I want you to do the same. Well, no, I got to wait till I'm... No, you don't. What he's begun in you, and you get it, and you say, keep working it in me, keep working it in me, I want to work it out, then you're ready. But make sure you let him begin that work in you. Moses had to wait 40 years before God could work through him. The apostles waited at least 3 years before the incarnated Spirit of Christ could work in and through them. Paul had to go away into the desert for at least 3 years as God worked in him before God could work through him. So we don't need to be presumptuous, but we ought to be expecting. As we mature, as we get rooted, as we take this work in us seriously, he's all about saying, I'm going to give you opportunities because I'm looking for responsibility. I'm looking for you willing to invest in, and it will cost you, but that's okay. When Paul speaks about being that drink offering poured over a sacrifice, he's a picture of the Old Testament where they would take a goblet maybe of wine and they would put it over a sacrifice that was on the fire and it would erupt in fire. But then it was gone. It wasn't recovered. It was burned up. And he says, I'm willing for my life to be that if it will ignite a fire in you Philippians. And I'm gone. It's okay. He says, because you're going to keep on the work because you're going to let God work in and through you. So he says, join with me in being glad and being happy about that. You notice in your outline, there's a reference there to, do you need a spotter? Or you be a spotter? Some of you know what a spotter is. Some of you have had a spotter. It's a term that relates to a physical workout in a gym, especially a bench press. Is that when you have that bar and you're lifting it up and down and you want to exert and you want to say, add more weight, I'm going to try one more than last time. It's good to have a spotter there because as you press until exhaustion with your arms trembling, holding your breath, looking for one more lift, that there's someone there. In case that starts to come down on your face, they got it. And they help you lift it up. Paul was that to so many. Do you need a spotter? Are you, in your mind, walking the Christian life without that encouragement, that affirmation, that iron sharpening iron relationship? Take a risk. Reach out. Who's in this room? Who's in a Bible study that you're in? And it's not just in that crowd, but one-on-one. Would you walk with me? And then are you willing to be a spotter for someone else? Come alongside, to encourage them, to invite them out for a cup of coffee or just to take a drive or to sit and say, I want to get to know you. Maybe they're new to the Christian life, new to the family of Open Arms Church. Are you willing to invest? Because God has worked in you by his grace and because you took him serious, now he says, I want to work through you to help others. Let's look around and that we can rejoice with Paul of others who bend their knee to Christ as Christ comes alive in them and changes them and transforms them. Let's pray. Father, I do thank you for your living word. I thank you for what you have begun in each one of us in this room, that you will work it to completion. Thank you for showing us, Lord, in our own hearts, how to prepare, how to live that out, how to trust you. There's much here your word tells us, is alive. And it's profitable to teach us what is right, to rebuke us when we're living or thinking or doing wrong, but then to correct us, to lead us out of that wrong thinking, living, that attitude, to a right path, but then also to train us, to equip us as men and women thoroughly equipped for every good work that you have for us. Oh Lord, may we let these truths from this word do that, because it's not in our own strength, but it's Christ working in and through us. That's your plan. May we be yielded to that plan, willing to adjust to your plan, starting in these moments. For your glory, for your name's sake, so that more and more may hear the gospel. Because without hearing the gospel, without seeing the gospel lived out in our lives, how can they believe? How can they trust? May we be those light bearers, holding fast to the word and then holding it out. Jesus, in your name we pray. Amen.
Would you stand with us again as we sing? Oh, great God. That's the other song we sang earlier. This is a different song. Let's try it again. Oh, great God of highest heaven, occupy my lowly heart. Own it all and reign supreme. Conquer every rebel power. Let no vice or sin remain that resists your holy war. You have loved and purchased me. Make me yours forevermore. Sing just that much again. Oh, great God of highest heaven, occupy my lowly heart. It all reign supreme, conquer every rebel power. Just me, make me yours forevermore. Now I was blinded by my sin, had no ease to hear your voice, did not know your love within, had no taste for heaven's joy. Your Spirit gave me life, opened up your word to me. Through the gospel of your Son, gave me endless hope and peace. In your Spirit gave me life, opened up your word to me. That's dependent on your grace. Keep my heart and guard my soul from the evils that I face. You are worthy to be praised with my every thought and deed. Great God of high.
highest heaven, glorify your name through me. You are worthy to be praised with my every thought and deed. Through the God of highest heaven, glorify your name. God of highest heaven, glorify your name through me.
Well, thank you for being with us this morning. Have a great day. We'll see you soon.